On September 26, 2006, Jenny Brundine, radio journalist and news director for NPR affiliate KUER in Salt Lake City, Utah, spoke to my class about her work. Jenny grew up in Western Canada, went to college in Montreal, and has backpacked the globe. She's reported for public radio stations in Montana and San Francisco, as well as for newspapers Los Angeles Times, Toronto Star, and the Monterey Herald. Jenny has received national Clarion Awards for her work, including the documentary Dugway, America's Testing Ground, and feature stories Hockey Night in Canada and Amendment 3 in My Neighborhood. Everything has a sound, from the breathing of ice floes, to the stridulations of ants, to the droning buzz of the neon lights in our classroom. Everything is a sound, and every sound is a story.
And I think we'll start just by having you listen to some really cool sounds, I think. And then we'll actually get into stories. And I'll tell you a tiny bit about this first piece. This is, as you know, more than two-thirds of the Earth's fresh water is actually suspended in the form of glaciers and ice caps. And in the Arctic Ocean, thousands of miles are covered by ice floes. And these are all really shifting and buckling, and unfortunately now they're melting at a fast pace. But this is where you're going to hear some of these ice floes, and this was recorded way up Tuktoyaktuk, Canada, between Barrow, Alaska and Tuktoyaktuk, Canada. And this is an ice floe about half a mile wide and a foot thick. And it's actually breathing. This is the sound you're going to hear. Kind of what you imagined. You probably never thought, oh, you can just stop it there.
What is it?
It's an ice floe, like a huge, glacier, a huge, massive piece of ice moving, and just kind of how it creaks and sways. And so the thing you learn the more you're in radio is that everything has a sound. I mean, even if we're really quiet right now for 1 second, this room is filled with sound. And so if I was going to do a story on you guys and I interviewed you, I would also stop and get a minute's worth of ambient noise, just silence of this room. Because when I go to put my story together and I have my voice tracks, I would run a little bit of that ambient sound so that when what we call the sound bite, let's say I interviewed you and had a sound bite of you, it would make it nice and smooth. In other words, that it would sound like I'm in the room with you when I go back to the studio and record my voice tracks. So everything has a sound. This next one, you think ants, how much of a sound do ants make? This guy, a curious sound engineer, took a lavalier mic, and those are little tiny mics that you can just attach to yourself, and he put it down inside the entrance of an anthill in the Arizona Sonoran Desert, and he captured the sound. They're called, correct me if I'm wrong, stridulations. This is the ants rubbing two parts of their body together. It's the way they communicate with each other. So we'll just listen to that. So there's a lot going on in an anthill. It's amazing that, you know, they're not making that with their mouth, vocalizations. That's just parts of their body. This next one is really cool, and I'm going to play it and see if you can guess what it is. That's track 3. Nope, good try. Rain in a bucket.
It sounds like during wind chimes or a couple of
wind chimes, that's a good guess. take one more.
Eating glass
is very, that's the closest we have. It is the sound of lava flowing from an active volcano. And this is a volcano in Hawaii during an eruption in 1983. And basically, it sounds like glass, but it's the surface of the crust kind of falling in on itself. And then as it slides, it cools. You know how you've seen lava and it kind of cools? And this, it moves at about 12 inches a minute. So it's moving fairly slowly. That's a really neat sound. So that's just kind of an introduction to get you guys used to really paying attention to sound. Well, I'll talk a little bit maybe about, let's play one more. And another reason I like radio is it brings you right into the moment. The newspaper's great, and if any of you go on to be print journalists, I'm sure you'll have a great career. But you can't really bring the person that much into the moment. You can be a really good writer, but to be able to really hear the emotion in their voice is why I like radio. This is the sound of a guy, Peter Breslow, climbing Mount Everest. And just listen to him, and maybe we can talk about what's happening with him. track 5. Yeah. So, how's Peter doing? Yeah, very little oxygen. Very little oxygen, and you know, he dropped his radio. Imagine up at that, what is it, 28,000 feet, I think. It's extremely difficult to breathe. But he had a little, you know, probably like a lavalier mic strapped to him, and I mean, that's just a great, in radio, that would be called great tape. Just brings you right into the moment.
Writers are often asked where they get the ideas for their stories. They read, they observe, they listen to people, and they connect all that back to their own experience. As Jenny will talk about shortly, it usually starts with a hunch, and then she follows that hunch. So if you're trying to discover a topic, think of the hunches you've had lately. Then follow those hunches.
Our situation is a little bit different than most newsrooms in that we're very, very small. In fact, if I wish I could take one of you guys to be, we can't even find an intern for Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Well,
we've taken a high school one before, but I don't know if you have Tuesdays and Thursdays free. That's the problem. But think of us in a couple years. Some of it, it's a mixture of both. We get a lot of story ideas through the AP wire, the Associated Press wire. We get stories from emails and faxes, and I kind of go through all of those the night before, and then I'll assign Dan or one of the interns to do one of those. So some of them are, you know, daily, you know, they just came out with a story yesterday on the achievement gap, a big study on the achievement gap with minority groups and in the public school system. And so that's something we wanted to have on our air. But to be honest with you, we kind of have the luxury of We don't have enough staff. We're not like the Tribune. They have 60, 70 reporters to go out. They're kind of the paper of record. They have to cover what's going on every day. So a lot of my ideas might just come from people that have contacted me. There's a mobile home park in Cottonwood Heights, which is a pretty wealthy area. But this mobile home park is right in the middle, and the land's been bought out. The developers going to get rid of the mobile home parks to build houses. And a lot of these people can't put the money together to move out. They need $2,000. So to me, that sounded interesting. There's a lot of tension in that story. There's a lot of human stories. I'll just go ahead and do that. So it's kind of it's a little bit of a mixture. The legislature we make a real commitment to, and I'm up there every day doing that. Our listeners are pretty bright. They like to be challenged. We do a lot of political news, environmental news, that kind of thing.
So can you mention like one of your favorite stories that you've ever done, and kind of a process like from idea to actual?
Let's see.
To like when it was all done.
Yeah. Boy, there's so many stories I've done. Well, maybe I'll do two of them, and one of them, I don't need to play it, but one of them, I had read that the increasing numbers of girls getting incarcerated for fighting. Traditionally, if you look at all the records, boys are the ones that get into the fighting and get put into jail, etc. But the numbers of girls is really on the rise, so I ended up doing a documentary exploring that, and I start by doing research on the internet, and I read articles to get general ideas of the phenomenon. Is this actually happening? Is it happening across the nation? Then I would go and get more specific information about Utah. So I would go to the getting criminal statistics and see if there actually is a trend here happening in Utah. So usually it starts with a hunch, and then you kind of explore that hunch. Then I start thinking about, again, scenes. I'm going to want to go to one of these facilities where girls stay. And I'm also going to want, I knew I was going to do a big 36 minutes altogether. I wanted to focus on one girl. And I found a girl named Maria. Well, that was her alias. She didn't want her real name used. And I wanted her to be able to tell her story herself with very little of my words in it. And that's when I did use a lot of music. And so how I structured it, I mean, this is a bit harder because it's a long piece. But it would sort of be facts. It would be talking to parents. It would be talking to psychologists who interview girls and have ideas on why they're becoming more violent. And then, of course, lots of girls in the story. And then a special breakout scene where the one girl, Maria, tells her own story. And that one meant a lot to me. And as radio reporters, we're a little bit obsessed. We stay there till midnight quite often because people are letting you into their life. They're telling you their most intimate stories of their life. And I feel incredible responsibility to do justice to that and tell their story faithfully in a way that's not exploiting them. And so those are other things to think about when you do a story. That was one of my favorites. Another story that I really liked doing, it was called Amendment 3 in My Neighborhood. And I don't know if you guys remember Amendment 3. It was, the amendment to ban gay marriage, to put that in the Constitution. And it was a real charged issue here in Utah. Probably the majority of Utahns supported that, banning gay marriage. But there were others that didn't. And I live in an interesting neighborhood. There are Mormon conservative families. I have an atheist across the street. I have a hardcore Republican next door. I have a lesbian on the other side. It's very diverse. And I thought, all these people really, they like each other. They're making muffins for each other. And when someone's sick, I'll watch your child. And I thought, if I got into this issue, they're going to have very different viewpoints. And so I wanted to do a story about that, like how we can be very decent to each other kind of on the surface, even though we really are fundamentally opposed on other issues. And so that was a little more simple. It was just me taking my tape recorder and going around to my neighbors and getting their views on Amendment 3 also bringing out how they were all decent human beings, even though they were totally opposed, and maybe some of them had, you know, very different views of me, but that my views don't matter. And so I think that turned out well. Like, I wanted to just show how we can all be very caring human beings, but we're opposed on something. So those are a couple of stories. I do have that Maria one, if you
want. Okay. Which one is that?
It's track number 6. And again, sorry, these are all kind of depressing stories about youth, but she basically was one of the incarcerated youth. But why I like this is we always hear about why youth get involved in crime, but she's telling her own story, her own view about why she turned to crime. So, yeah.
In this show, we'll look at some of the reasons girls are becoming more violent and committing more crimes. We'll start with Maria, now 15 years old.
Okay, there's 3 rooms. There's 2 roommates in each room. There's my bed over here. We each get a shell.
Maria shows me around her bedroom at Youth Corrections Observation and Assessment Facility in South Salt Lake. She's lived there for almost 3 months. The room is sparse, but Maria has decorated it with her few possessions. Drawings from her little brother and sisters. Some business cards. She's collected 30 or so from all her encounters with the system, as she calls it. Maria shows me the 3 pairs of pants they're allowed and explains the artwork on the wall, on which she's had to write down words to describe herself.
Intelligent, blunt, resourceful, resilient, observant, funny, understanding, trustworthy, thoughtful, unique. Wow, these are my rosaries. I collect them, I have a lot of them. My mom brought them 3 for me.
Maria's mom is an exotic dancer. Her stepfather drinks.
My real dad's in prison. My mom is in exotic dancing because we couldn't afford to live anywhere anymore. Then my stepdad's an alcoholic and spends all the money that she makes on alcohol. That's kind of how I got started committing crimes. When you wake up in the morning, nobody's around. You go to bed at night, no one's still around. 3 days later, no one's still around and there's no food in the house. You just kind of start thinking, what should I do now? There's 3 little babies crying all night long and you can't just let 3 little babies go hungry. I don't know what it was really, but I started breadwinner. Is that what you call it?
Breadwinner.
Breadwinner? Yeah. I've raised them since I was 5, since they were born. I buy them school clothes, I buy them food, I buy them Christmas presents, birthday presents.
Maria calls her life at home chaotic. There were lots of beatings. Her mom was never home. Nobody was paying the bills. Maria says sometimes the apartment was cold. When there was no electricity, an extension cord through a hole a neighbor punched in the wall did the trick. When Maria was 6 or 7, she got more help from neighbors.
My neighbors were from a gang, TCG, Tommy and Kurt gang, and they acted hard, but they knew what was going on in my house. They didn't know what to do, so they took me out and taught me how to break into houses and steal cars and sell drugs. I thought about not getting caught, get money, don't get caught. That's what they taught me, is to not get caught. I grew up with gangs. People in my family are in gangs. My whole life was gangs, so that's what I've been taught to do since I was little. Don't get caught. At first, I was scared about it, getting caught, getting shot, but I don't know, I kind of got used to it and went home. It didn't bother me. It was normal. I didn't think about the past or the future. I just focused on what I'm doing right now and getting away with it.
So as you write your stories, remember what Jenny Brundine said. People are letting you into their lives. Take on a responsibility to do them justice and tell their story faithfully. My name is Chris Sloan. I'm an English teacher at Judge Memorial Catholic High School in Salt Lake City, Utah. You can email me at csloan@judgememorial.com.